Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church, and I'm glad you've joined us for this Christmas podcast series from 2023. It is called Friends for Christmas, and we will invite five friends over for Christmas in the course of these podcasts. Tonight's friend will be President Harry Truman, and after that will be the actor Jimmy Stewart, the author Charles Dickens, Salvation Army founder William Booth, and the author and poet G.K. Chesterton. I hope you'll check in for all these podcasts and hear how we might share Christmas with these friends. So I've chosen President Harry Truman to invite over for Christmas. And, you know, even in going with that idea that, well, who would I really like to spend Christmas with? Well, President Truman would make the great, because in some ways, not to get too political, he sounds, when you read in his writings and his biographies, as, well, maybe the last truly normal human being we managed to elect president. The country is large. It is wonderful. I enjoy the freedoms. I enjoy voting for politicians and feel that we still can have a great republic here. But the process and the size of it all has made it so that you truly have to be pretty well stuck on yourself and shamelessly self-promote yourself to get elected president. And Harry Truman, well, just to give you a look for what sort of person he was, when he was asked what did he do first after he gave up the Oval Office after his two terms as president, what did he do first when he got home to Missouri? And he said, well, I took the suitcases up to the attic. Now just try to imagine any of our latest presidents giving that answer. Good persons, as many of them have been. They're just not there in that cut of the ordinary person. Harry Truman, in his addresses to the on the White House lawn at the occasion of lighting of the Christmas tree, was very biblical. He referenced the Bible a lot. He referenced the commonality of the Christian faith that he hoped people all joined. He so often returned to the story in Luke chapter 2 of the birth of Christ. And so I want to read some of that for you. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each from his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" When you read the Christmas addresses on the occasion of the Christmas tree lighting, as I said, from President Truman, looking in 1946, having just come out of World War II, he references the shepherds keeping watch by night over the flock, heard the glad tidings of great joy from the angels of the Lord singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This president, who had seen the end of one world war and seen the beginning of the Korean conflict, he said, "I am sorry to say all's not harmony in the world today. We found that it's easier for men to die together on the field of battle than it is for them to live together at home in peace. But those who died have died in vain if, in some measure at least, we shall not preserve for the peace that spiritual unity with which we won the war." And he talks about the greatness of our nation. He says, in this great country of ours have been demonstrated the fundamental unity of Christianity and democracy. And just plan for your, consider for yourself a moment words like that coming out of a modern day candidate. Under our heritage of freedom for everyone on equal terms, we also share the responsibilities of government, our support of individual freedom, free speech, free schools, free press, and a free conscience transcends all our differences. Although we may not hope for a new heaven and a new earth in our day and generation, we may strive with undaunted faith and courage to achieve in the present some measure of that unity with which the nation's sons and the sons of our allies went forth to war. In 1947, he reminded people of the human need around them. Let us not forget that the first Christmas, he said, was a homeless one, a humble man and woman that had gone up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Bethlehem. There's a sense of desolation in St. Luke's brief chronicle that Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. For many, he said, of our brethren in Europe and Asia, this too will be a homeless Christmas. There can be little happiness for those who will keep another Christmas in poverty and exile and separation from their loved ones. And he went on to urge that the Christian duty is to go to the aid of these that were suffering want after the terrible, terrible destruction of the war. And then he celebrated several Christmases in his hometown in Missouri. And he spoke from there after having put the signal to turn on the Christmas tree. He said, I've been thinking of all these things here in my home on North Delaware Street in Independence. I'm speaking to you from our family living room. And as I came up the street in the gathering dusk, I saw 100 commonplace things that are hallowed to me on this Christmas Eve, hallowed because of their associations with the sanctuary of home. Why, indeed, might Harry Truman be a good guest to have over for Christmas? Well, you could see him helping to put the plates away. You could see him stretching his feet out under your table and enjoying the meal and having a laugh. Here was someone who saw the beauty of home, and I'll Be Home for Christmas is still a song that most of us can sing with some longing, knowing what it would be like to be, say, one of our servicemen far away and deployed at this time, or just simply separated for one reason or another from parents or children, and saying it would be nice to be in a house where all my loved ones were together. In 1949, he wrote, once more, I've come out to Independence to celebrate Christmas with my family. We are back among old friends and neighbors around our own fireside. Christmas is the great epic of the home. Our homecoming here on this Christmas Eve in familiar surroundings, sanctified by family associations through the years, memories of joys and sorrows of life and death, is typical of similar family gatherings all over the country. To appreciate the Christmas that we love is to appreciate that other people also have family that they love. We may not understand one another. We may not always get along with one another's points of view, but we can understand that for the most part, we have been gifted with people that we love with all our hearts. He talks about the little child whose birthday it is. Through that child, love, there came to all mankind the love of a divine Father and a blessed Mother, so that the love of the Holy Family could be shared by the whole human family. And so then he also brings another sad note again to remember that we will seem to see turmoil and trouble no matter how long we live until the Lord comes. In 1951, he said, our hearts are saddened on this Christmas Eve by the suffering and sacrifice of our brave men and women in Korea. We miss our boys and girls who are out there. They are protecting us and all free men from aggression. They're trying to prevent another war. We honor them for the great job they're doing. We pray to the Prince of Peace for their success and safety. Harry Truman did a good and workmanlike job as president, but indeed presided over wars and conflict and a nation that had to arm and defend and recognize after it had put to rest the Nazi threat in Germany, that there was a greater threat of communism still to come. And this man that knew war and led war and was commander-in-chief longed for the peace that the Prince of Peace promises. He set his heart upon that promise that the angels gave, that Jesus would bring peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let's enjoy having President Truman along with us in our Christmas journey together. Let us remember that all of us, in the working and striving that we do, the defeats and the disappointments, the things that we cannot seem to sort out and set to rest finally, we rely on the promise that there is indeed a kingdom of peace, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is Jesus. Harry Truman would agree. Be blessed this day. Be blessed this whole Christmas season. Return and join us for the podcast as we'll take up Charles Dickens next time and invite him over. And you be blessed by the Prince of Peace this Christmas time. Amen.